Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from 2 Corinthians. We'll be focusing on this verse, verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So, Sherry, I was wondering how come you didn't take a White Sox hat out? I'm just kidding. I'm going to get in trouble for that. Now, we're continuing our series, Treasure in Clay Jars, focusing on these wonderful and yet challenging passages from 2 Corinthians. And today we're focusing on hope. And as soon as I came up, with that word hope, I don't know, you know how your mind sometimes suddenly goes this way or that way. Well, for some reason, it went to that scene in the 1997 film, The Shawshank Redemption. How many of you have seen this movie? Okay, yeah, great movie, fantastic. It was that scene where Andy, played by Tim Robbins, he had just finished a stint in solitary confinement and was now joining his fellow inmates at the mess hall. And they were congratulating him because he had kind of pushed the boundaries of things. He had locked himself in the warden's office with a phonograph and had played an aria that was over the loudspeakers. It was just so beautiful for people, and that's how he got into solitary confinement. And so one of them was ribbing him and says, you couldn't have taken that into solitary confinement, right? And he's like, well, I didn't need to. It was in here. It was up here. I had the music here and up here. And, that's just something that, they can't take away. And his friend Red, played by Morgan Freeman, looked at him. He said, what are you talking about? What can't they take away? Well, hope. And there's a dead silence there as Red just stares at him. And he says, let me tell you something, Andy. Hope is a dangerous thing. It's got no place on the inside here. You better get used to that. And it always struck me, whenever I thought about that scene, I thought, really? Can hope actually be a bad thing in our lives? Well, it all has to do with our afflictions, the suffering, the trials and the tribulations that we go through. Every single time I read these words by Paul, I laugh. I laugh when he says that his afflictions are light and momentary. And I'm like, really, Paul? Because our afflictions can seem very, very heavy indeed. I mean, for example, it is not a light, momentary thing when a volcano is exploding and wiping out homes and wiping out lives. It's not a light, momentary thing when there's a school shooting, when a suicide bomber shows up in a crowd and does his or her thing. No. It's not a light and momentary thing when your relationships are on the rocks or they are bending and they break. It's not a light and momentary thing when all of a sudden, whoa, where did all my money, my income go? Definitely not a light and momentary thing when you are facing major surgery, when you are facing a deadly illness. And you know what? Even as Christians, we suffer in our own unique way. Oh, yeah, we suffer either because we're going to share our faith, we're going to live our lives for Jesus, and people reject us. They mock us. They ridicule us. And yes, we also struggle every single day with the temptation to give into sin. You see, we look at these afflictions, and there is nothing light and momentary about them at all. And it's when we face these afflictions that we are looking for hope, some hope in our lives. But a lot of the times, this hope sounds like this. I hope my house is not destroyed. I hope that that shooter doesn't show up at my school. I hope that that terrorist doesn't act. I hope they won't leave me. I hope that I won't lose any more income or I won't go bankrupt. I hope that I won't get cancer. Yeah, I hope that they won't reject me, that I won't give in to sin. And I've actually heard a Christian say this: I hope I go to heaven to be with Jesus. And the list, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Every day we say something like this: I hope, I hope, I hope. You know, we hope for the best to happen, or we hope to avoid the worst. But the thing is that this hope can be a dangerous thing. As Red put it, it can drive someone insane. Because this hope can be wiped out completely. It's wiped out when, oh, you lost your home. When the shooter does show up at your school and starts shooting. When the terrorist suddenly presses that button and lives are lost. Yeah, this hope is wiped out when, oh, your relationships are gone. They're broken. They're over. When you are out of money and out of funds. When the doctor just looks in your eyes and says, I'm sorry, it's cancer. Your hope can be wiped out when, oh, they do reject you. You do give in to sin. You are at death's door. And, well, what awaits me on the other side? Is it heaven? Or is it hell? You see, this kind of hope is very heavy indeed. It is a burden. It weighs you down because there is no guarantee behind this hope. It's just wishful thinking. I hope things turn out for the best, or I hope to avoid the worst. But what if the worst happens? What if you wish upon a star and it doesn't come true? What if you are looking for a guarantee that is not there? Think about it. Is this any way to live your life? You know, I hope this thing happens, but you know what? There's no guarantee that this will. You know, this hope, this kind of hope is dangerous. Because this hope weighs you down with all kinds of worry and fear and doubt. And you know what? I'm making a claim. This hope is no hope at all. But there is another kind of hope. I heard a story about a mother some time ago who was waiting at the airport for her husband and the father of their six-year-old daughter right there. She was very worried. She was looking out at the tarmac and was worried because it was a blizzard. It was a snowstorm beyond compare. And she kept saying to herself, I hope he makes it, I hope he makes it, I hope he makes it. But her daughter, she was just smiling. She was just looking out, just like, oh, mommy, he'll come. He'll come. Well, the flight's arrival time passed, and then minutes went by, And then another hour went by. Nothing. She kept asking, and they said, well, they're on their way, but you never know. And until finally, the plane landed. Came up, and here came her snow-covered husband. And the little girl looked up at her mom and said, see, I told you. I told you he'd come. And she handed a piece of paper to her. And in that piece of paper was a letter from her father to their daughter saying, I can't wait to see you again. I'll be there. I promise. Never a doubt. Not one doubt in that girl's mind. You know, when you go back to that light, momentary affliction that Paul was going through, listen, this doesn't sound light or momentary at all. This is Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, later on in this letter, in which he begins at verse 24. He says, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all of the churches. Huh. You thought your life was hard. But see, even though Paul was going through these light, momentary afflictions, he knew, he trusted that Jesus had gone through them as well. Yeah, Jesus suffered. He was rejected, and not just by the Pharisees, not just by his disciples. He was rejected by you and me, all of sinful humanity. He was even abandoned by God himself. He was mocked, he was flogged, and yes, he was crucified. But he rose from the dead. And then he appeared to Paul himself as he was going on the road to the city of Damascus, and everything changed for Paul in an instant. He knew his sin was forgiven. He knew he had eternal life. He knew that through Jesus Christ, he had the guarantee of his own resurrection and entrance into heaven. Therefore, he did not lose heart. He had hope. No matter how many light or momentary afflictions he went through. And this kind of hope that Paul had, this hope is real hope. This hope is true hope, because this hope is from God. This hope is grounded in the eternal weight of glory. A glory that it comes from God. It comes from him alone. A glory that will last forever. And this hope is given to us in Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was dead, was buried, but then he rose again after 3 days. He ascended into heaven, and he now sits in glory at his Father's right hand. And see, because of that, this hope is guaranteed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because through that resurrection, he has overcome sin. He has overcome all evil in the world. He has overcome our brokenness. He has overcome death itself. He has overcome the devil that attacks us. And all that remains is forgiveness and eternal life and salvation and our own resurrection from the dead. It's guaranteed. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you face the afflictions that you will go through, whether you think they're lights or whether you think they're very heavy indeed, face them with the hope that God gives you in Jesus Christ. Because I tell you what, I pray you do this because it may seem that your afflictions, your hardships, your suffering, your trials and tribulations, that's it. That's all there is in life, right? That your life is just one natural disaster, one act of evil, one broken relationship, one sin after sin after sin after another until, oh, well, until you die. But as much as these things can consume us, and if you have been looking at the news just recently, you know these things can consume people. They're temporary. They're transient. They are nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. A glory that is beyond all comparison. A glory that you and I will receive when it culminates in the resurrection of our mortal bodies. When we gain entrance into heaven, when we are in the presence of our Lord and Savior forever, without evil, without sin, without death. You see, this kind of hope never disappoints. When you face light momentary afflictions, your eyes turn to Jesus and his eternal promises that he keeps. When you face suffering, your brokenness or evil or sin, your eyes turn to Jesus and his victory, his healing, his forgiveness of sin. When you go and face through all kinds of trials and tribulations, your eyes turn to the cross that Jesus hung on. Your eyes turn to the empty tomb that he walked out of. And you do not lose heart. Andy didn't. He did not lose heart throughout this entire film. He had hope. Hope that they could not take away. And yes, a hope that allowed him to be free and to go away. Now, Red was also freed. He got out after 40 years in prison. And he was having difficulty adjusting to the outside world. And yet, he remembered something that Andy had told him. He said, "When I get out, I'm going to leave a box by this tree in the ground, buried. I want you to go and find it." So Red did. He went to the tree. He knew where it was. He started digging, and sure enough, there was a box. And in the box was $1,000 cash. Big, big amount back in the day. And there was also a letter from Andy. And here's what he said. "Dear Red, if you're reading this, you've gotten out. And if you've come this far, maybe you're willing to come a little further. You remember the name of the town, don't you? I could use a good man to help me get my project on wheels. I'll keep an eye out for you and the chessboard ready. Remember, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things, and no good thing ever dies." Hope for Red, but especially a good description of Christian hope. See, Christian hope is a good thing. It's a true treasure in our clay jars. Because when these clay jars crack, when they're broken, when we suffer, when we are weighed down with all kinds of afflictions, we have hope. A hope that does not disappoint us. A hope that is guaranteed by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a hope that looks to the unseen glory that Jesus gives us, that one day we will see. Amen.